Final hour of the Chad Hartman Show, Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman. I would advise you, if you're an NFL fan, specifically of the Minnesota Vikings, to check out an outstanding piece done by Mark Craig from the Minnesota Star Tribune about former coach Mike Zimmer. And I know that many of you are like, Mike Zimmer's not here anymore. Doesn't matter. I thought that this was an incredible job of just of checking in with the old coach and kind of seeing where he's at. Now he's in Dallas as a defensive coordinator. And I just thought it was very eye-opening when I read it yesterday. And joining us now on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline is Mark Craig, who covers the National Football League and the Minnesota Vikings for the Minnesota Star Tribune. Mark, I appreciate your time today. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. Look, I got to start with this. Mike Zimmer, I've always viewed him as a straight shooter. But my goodness, he was beyond honest. He was beyond open with everything that he talked to you about and how he felt about his time here in Minnesota. Were you a little bit surprised at how open and honest and transparent that he was?
No, because he was ready to talk. And it wasn't just really the focus, obviously, was the ending of his time in Minnesota. Obviously there was during the time between at Minnesota and now with the Cowboys, his son passes away. So there's probably another year there where he's out of football. But he was, ready to talk. And, part of the story is also the motivation to get back into the NFL, because, Zimmer has always been a guy that, as straight shooting as he is, he's still a little paranoid, like he's always going to be fired, even though he had only been fired one time in his life. He was pretty honest in saying, when you get fired like this, you think you're a lousy coach. You think everyone thinks you're a lousy coach, and you want to get back into it. So Zimmer sometimes is very direct and honest about himself and where he's at in his life. And Zimmer, frankly, I think is a breath of fresh air when it comes to, just being honest on what transpired, with him and Rick and just at the end, and how, I think Zimmer even, everyone knew that it was kind of a train wreck at the end. But there were situations that were going on that, the guy's defense was decimated. It was, but in saying that, Zimmer wasn't at his best as a coach, or probably as a, relating to people as he normally would be toward the end. So, I had a feeling once Jim wanted to sit down and talk, that he would be honest. Jim has always been honest. I would always do a story with him at least once a year where we sat down and Zimmer would just, be Zim, and he would just talk straight up.
Yeah, Mark, I always liked Coach Zimmer because of how honest he's been throughout the years and being a straight shooter. The one thing that, when you look at Coach Zimmer, whether you love him, hate him, or you're neutral on him, the one thing that you always have to think about with him in his life is just the heartbreak. Losing his wife when he was in Cincinnati, and then losing Adam, before he left Minnesota.
Yeah, I know, and he spoke at length about that. And then, I understand that, the juicy stuff is the fight, him and Spielman, and just stuff that you're dying to get at whenever it's going on. Sometimes it happens. You get to that stuff, years later, but he was also pretty good about that. And Eric Kendrick was pretty good about talking about, hey, we all said some things we didn't mean at that time. And, I don't want to say backtracking on what he was said about the fear-based thing, but, he was pretty good in the piece. And so, it's just a kind of a, I like that Zim is just, he's going to tell you exactly how he feels.
Yeah. We're talking to Mark Craig from the Minnesota Star Tribune, done a great piece on former coach Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Give him a follow on Twitter. I call it Twitter. Everybody else calls it X, or Elon calls it X. Yeah. But his account is Mark Craig NFL. So check him out there. Now, I do want to say or ask you about this. Do you think that and I read the entire piece and you did a great job, the 2021 NFL draft, where they selected Kellen Mond and some others, and there were some other pieces that he wanted defensively, was that the beginning of the end for the relationship, or at least it being healthy between him and Rick Spielman?
Yeah, and even Zim said that, you know, we were always good. You know, he respected Rick. Rick's a football guy. He always tried his hardest to give him, you know, the best players that he could. I think, you know, 21 is, you know, you're looking at Zimmer. What happened in 2020? You know, he loses Danielle Hunter for the entire season. When they played that Christmas Day game at New Orleans, where Sean Payton sets, you know, they rush for had Kamara rush for 6 touchdowns and tie the 91-year-old NFL record. You know, that was, you know, at that point Zimmer had started. He was down to some practice squad linebacker that was like their his 6th or 7th or 8th linebacker. He had nothing. He had nothing left, and he took that season very hard. Of you know, defensively, they just couldn't compete. And, you know, they first round, they try to get a quarterback. You know, second round, they don't have a second round pick. And then his first pick in the third round is a quarterback. So, you know, Zim probably didn't handle it the best. But hey, he didn't like it. And he walked out. And, you know, the rest is history. I mean, you know, that was not a good third round for them. And it turned out that he is. It was accurate. And now that's not to say, you know, Rick also hit on some good picks as well. And Darrisaw was a nice pick in the first round, and yep, trading down and getting Darrisaw. So it's just right or wrong, you know. And Zim, even at one point, says, you know, I'm not saying it's all his fault, because I'm sure that I did things wrong as well.
Yeah.
That's a part that, you know, people sometimes, when Zim will turn the tables on the honesty on himself, that doesn't get really noticed, I don't think.
Yeah. You know, Mark, one of the things that, you know, when I think about Coach Zimmer is that he's a tough guy. And, you know, he's been through some stuff, man, and he's rather old school. But even he admitted to you in the piece that some of the criticism or some of the quotes and stuff from you know, former player stuff, really, it did, you know, it stung a little bit. You know, the Terrence Newman stuff, the quote from Eric Kendricks, I don't think a fear-based organization is the way to go. Talk about what he said to you with regards to that from the former players.
Well, you know, it ranged from, you know, he brought up Chris Boyd. And Chris Boyd had said, you know, basically that the coaches were strung too tight. He might have used some colorful language, and that they were strung too tight, and if they made a mistake, it was the end of the world. And he just said, you know, Chris Boyd, and like, dude, you had more special teams penalties than anybody I've ever known. And so that didn't bother him. But Terrence Newman, he said, Terrence was like a son to me. You know, and Terrence came out on Tyler Dunn's website and said, you know, it was a toxic relationship. So he called him and they talked about it. And Terrence Newman, to his credit, said, that's how I felt. And so then Zim said, well, we're done. You know, we're done. So and the Kendricks, the Kendricks thing stung him. But he, you know, obviously, Kendricks was on his way to San Francisco. He was agreed to go to San Francisco. And I talked to Eric, and he the chance to play Mike linebacker and also be back in Zim's system, which in 2019, you know, he was all pro, and I have an all pro vote. And I've always told him, I said, one of my easiest all pro picks, because, you know, I'm sitting here watching this guy every game, was Eric Kendricks. Because that year, Eric Kendricks, he knew every play with it before, you know, a split second before it was coming. And he was, you know, there was no better middle linebacker in the league than Eric Kendricks. And he probably would have been 2-time all pro if he doesn't hurt his calf in 2020. So they talked about it, and Eric Kendricks was pretty good about saying, you know, that, you know, things said on both sides that we regret. You know, he kind of regretted saying it, but he said, you know, Zimmer obviously regretted some of the things he said in a meeting that Zim talked about. So, you know, they're back together, and Linval Joseph has joined them since I was there. So, yeah, I mean, there are some parts to Zimmer that rub players the wrong way. There's also parts of Zimmer that he brings out something in players, and with the way he brings it out of them, that it is old school and it's disappearing, but it still can be effective. There was some back and forth between some of the players that bothered him, some didn't.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, final question for you. You know, when you look at Coach Zimmer and where he's at now with the Dallas Cowboys, defensive coordinator, he's got some great pieces there. You want people in the end to be happy. Did he seem to be in the state of mind of being fulfilled at this particular point and moving towards being happy again? And I ask that question because, you know, he fessed up and owned up to you that, you know, and it's you know, the top of the page, unfortunately, I hold grudges. He's holding grudges against a lot of different people. So I wonder if he's ultimately going to be happy in the end.
Well, yeah, I mean, what gets kind of lost in this is that's the lead to my story, is that, you know, I'm standing there waiting for practice to start. He comes out and, you know, he looked, first of all, he looked like he actually got some sleep, which he didn't at the end of his time here. Had a smile on his face, you know, he is happy. And his daughter, you know, Corey, said that, you know, that she hasn't seen him this happy in years. And he said, I am having fun again. And that was the lead into the story. And there is some stuff in there about, you know, coaching the Cowboys and why he's invigorated by this. But obviously, you know, what draws the attention is to hear someone that shockingly honest about, you know, something, you know, and it's all facts. I mean, I've talked to people that, you know, confirmed that that's how that draft day went. And you just, you know, you don't hear people, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the NFL that does not get out because the NFL is a, it's an airbrushed league, you know, even now more so than ever. And next year will be more than this year. You know, they like everything put into a nice clean box that they can control and, you know, disseminate podium, the perfect quote. And they spend 5 minutes, you know, with a guy before he goes to a podium to tell him what to say, what not to say, you know, and, you know, this is just a guy coming in and turning over the apple cart.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, I appreciate your time today. Mark Craig from the Minnesota Star Tribune. Give him a follow on X. It is Mark Craig NFL. He covers the Minnesota Vikings and the National Football League. Appreciate the time, Mark.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, take care. That's Mark Craig joining us here on the Chad Hartman Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back next. Look, there's a reality TV show that is unrivaled, will never be topped, can never be duplicated. We'll get to that next year on the Chad Hartman Show. The best reality show on television is sports. Live sports. That's the best reality TV that you're going to find. It flat out is. And so now we have a new battle. Because remember, we dealt with the whole, like, people not being able to get the Twins because of the Bally Sports North and Comcast stuff. Well, now, I don't know if you've heard the latest. And it has nothing to do with Bally Sports North. This is now involving ESPN. Disney on Sunday pulled its ABC stations, ESPN and other cable networks, from DirecTV's lineup as the two companies failed to reach a new distribution deal, leaving millions of sports fans in the dark as the college football and NFL seasons get underway. That is a nightmare if you don't have ESPN. That's rough. And look, nothing, if you talk about a power play, this is a massive power move by ESPN.
Yes,
and Disney.
Right before football season.
Yes, right before football season. And look, I watched some of USC and LSU last night, and I watched other college football games over the course of the weekend. Notre Dame versus, and I know it's not ABC, but Notre Dame played Texas A&M. Who else played on Saturday? There was another. Michigan played Fresno State. It wasn't a big game. But my point is, who's going to win this standoff?
Yeah.
Like, I'd hate to be a DirecTV consumer and client with this going on. Because, look, we know what it was like to have to deal with the whole Bally Sports North stuff. Now, and you know how people feel about football. And it's fall. And it's about to get cold. And it ain't summertime where you can just go out and about and you can go and ride the bike all over and all this other stuff. And you can still listen to Twins baseball on the radio home for the Twins. News Talk 830 WCCO. This one hurts for a lot of people. And it's the best reality because you can't – live sports is just so unique. You know, you can sit there. You can find different shows to watch. So if your favorite television show ends after five seasons, if your favorite television show gets pulled after one season, you're going to find something else. You can't just go grab your favorite college football team or basketball or whatever. This is different.
Yeah, it's different. People are going to be fine. They'll get by without their PTI and without their get up in the morning and, you know, first take, all that. But, man, when Saturday rolls around, when Monday night rolls around, you know, even baseball fans, if they're still locked into Sunday night baseball, if this thing continues for a few weeks, months, we start rolling into what ESPN NBA, college basketball, NHL coverage. My goodness.
Is there any way that we get a week without something getting done? Because I think it'd be tough for them to go a week. Like, there's big-time college football games coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
And then the NFL starts this weekend. I don't know, man. This is going to be interesting. This may not be big news today because it's Labor Day weekend and we're all with our families. But when you start talking about setting your fantasy football lineup, you start talking about, I want to make a wager, and I know that we don't have legalized wagering here, but you get my point.
Yes.
This week, I think this is going to end up being a massive story.
Well, it's the ultimate hammer for Disney to pull on DirecTV.
Yep.
I mean, how many subscribers does DirecTV possibly stand to lose because teams can't get their favorite football team? You know, if they're playing on ESPN, even just, you know, that week, you know, teams jump around to obviously different networks, but whether they're playing ESPN or ABC or your team happens to be on, you know, Monday Night Football that night. Oh, I can't imagine how many people might just say, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to the cable, you know, whatever it is. I'm going to YouTube TV. What, you know, there's obviously all the options out there right now.
Don't you think Disney has all the leverage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's not like they're going to say, you know what, we made a mistake. We'll just put ourselves back on. But, you know, we'll just continue to work out the deal. But while we do that, yeah, just put ourselves. It's fine. No. No, this is the ultimate, all right, DirecTV, the ball's in your court. This is our final offer. Accept it or you're in some real trouble.
Yeah. 651-461-9226. Send me a text on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line. If you are one of those individuals that's in the midst of this having DirecTV and you're like, hold on, I need my ESPN. I need my Disney channels because I need my football. I'd hate to be you right now. But coming up next, cell phones in schools. That conversation won't die and it won't go away, nor should it. We get to that next. It's the Chad Harbin Show. All right, your kids are going back to school. And as a former, 15-year employee in school districts, I don't know that there's a case for why you should have your child, or it should be allowed that they have a cell phone in school. I guess somebody would have to make the case for me, but I don't know. I'd love to hear it. 651-461-9226. I don't think it's productive. And I know that the natural comeback will be, I want to be able to get a hold of my kid if something bad happens. Is that enough of a stance to say that your kid should be allowed to bring or have a smartphone or a cell phone at school? And there's an article entitled, "Your Children's Smartphones Aren't Making Them Smarter." Well, I think that smartphones and bringing cell phones to school are a massive distraction. I don't think it should be in the learning environment. And I would agree with people that say it disrupts the learning environment. It is a disruption. I don't think that teachers should have to want to, you know, have that fight with the kid over a cell phone. I don't think that realistically a kid can make a case for why they should have one in a classroom or even in their locker. Because then, you know, okay, my cell phone, somebody took it out of my locker. Or it got stuck. Like, what is the good that comes out of it? Like, what is the overall need for having a cell phone in school? Is it just the I'm a parent and I want to be able to contact my child when I want to contact them? Back when we were in school, how'd you get a hold of your kid? Did you call the school? Did the school get in contact with the teacher in the class? I mean, I don't, and I know that we live in a world in which we feel a certain way about school shootings, this, that, the other, whatever. And there's more school shootings than we would ever want or imagine that there are. But the likelihood of that, it's higher today than it was 50 years ago. But the bottom line is, I just don't think that cell phones do us any good in schools.
What's your policy then? If you're the principal, Henry Lake School for the Gifted and Talented, can kids, let's say high school age, can they bring cell phones in the building and just have to leave them in a locker or in a bag, or are they even allowed in the building?
I don't know. Well, first off, there's only two ways you can go about it, in my eyes. And people can weigh in on the text line if they'd like, 651-461-9226. There's only two ways you can go about it. The one way is that you don't have it at all, that it doesn't come through the doors. If it comes through the doors and you're found with the cell phone goes to administration and your parent comes to get it. Number one.
Okay.
The only other option, is if you come to school, there is a designated, and maybe they just have a person that is the staff that deals with this, dedicated staff, where you hand it to that person the moment that you come in the door. They have a deal where it's locked up, and then you retrieve it at the end of the day. It's almost like I went to
a lot of comedians do that now.
Comedians
do it. You
got
the sleeve, you put it in.
They got the sleeve, and then it happened at the Dakota. I went to a show at the Dakota like a year and a half ago, and there was no recording. And so you got there. They looked at my name was on list, whatever. Oh, yeah, we got your tickets here, whatever. You got a cell phone. We don't allow cell phones in here. You need to put it in your vehicle, or you go ahead and you give it to us, and because let's say, for instance, you're a kid in high school and you drive to school, okay? I wasn't driving until I got to college. Mm-hmm. But let's say that you drive to school, whatever, right? Well, you can leave it in your car, right? If you want to, right? You can leave it in your car. But I think that those are your only two options. I don't know, maybe somebody out there has another option, but I think those are your only two. What do you think?
I think if I was running the school, I used to be along the lines of, well, the student can keep it on their person, but obviously have the ringer off. And if it comes out in class, then we have an issue. No, that can't happen. Because even if your phone's on vibrate, looking at the stats now of how many notifications an average teenager's phone gets throughout the day, you know, well into the 200, 300, 400 perhaps. You can't focus, even if you're not looking at the phone. If you're feeling a little buzz in your pocket every few minutes because there's a notification from an app or a text message or an email that's come through, your focus is gone because all you're thinking about is, man, is there a way I can sneak this out of my pocket? And even if I can't, I wonder who it was. I wonder what it is. That's what our brains have been designed, or I shouldn't say our brains. These phones have been designed to make our brains want them. You know, they are addictive. We know that. So I do think it's probably too much at this stage in 2024 to say you can't bring it in the building. Just for the simple fact, especially if we're talking about, you know, middle school, high school kids, if, mm-hmm. you know, they're in activities, if they need a ride home, it's not easy to come about a payphone in a school anymore. You know, that's a little more difficult than it used to be. So I think you have to give, you know, kids that opportunity to be able to get a hold of their parents, specifically after school. But, yeah, I think my policy would be it doesn't leave a locker.
All right,
you can bring it in. Everyone gets a locker. And if you see it during the day, it's gone.
Well,
there is no, you know, two strikes.
See, I don't think that works. Because you're doing the honor system there. And you think that a high school kid is going to leave it in the locker? That's not happening. Like I worked in a school for many years, multiple different schools, multiple different districts. That's just the honor thing is not happening. It's not. We would like to think that our child is going to abide by the rules. That's not how it works. Text line here says, I disagree with Henry. It's a form of protection in this world. Yes, it's a pain for the teachers, but what about at the bus stop or walking home or to school? In that case, then we would have the setup like the Dakota or other places where you go and you hand it to someone and then you get it at the end of the day. But hold on. Let's think about it like this.
You think kids aren't going to bring an old phone and hand that to you and keep their new one with them?
Well, if the new one gets found, then that one goes to the parent. There has to be consequences for this. And trust me, I would love to think that every kid is going to be honorable with regards to following the rules and doing what they're supposed to do in a school. I've worked in schools, man. I didn't deal with kids that'll talk crazy to you and tell you you can call my mom and they threaten you with your parents. I'm not dealing with all that. It is not a part of the learning environment to have a cell phone. It should not be. Like, I get that we live in a world in which we want to have access to our parents, that we want to have access to our children. Are we forgetting the world that we grew up in? If somebody wanted to get a hold of, like, there's, you know, one thing that we're really good at doing in this life is adapting. No, we are. We're really good at adapting. And it would, to me, it would be easier for a father, son, daughter, mother to be able to adapt to that scenario than the teachers trying to adapt to the scenario where you got a classroom full of kids with cell phones and notifications going off and this and that, the other. We have issues in school districts with kids doing things on Facebook and then bringing the stuff back to school. So you mean to tell me it's going to be super simple to just have cell phones in classes? It's a very, very tricky situation. It really is.
And there's no easy solution. You know, you're going to anger people no matter what you do. And you're talking about adapting. You know, kids will adapt, but you're talking about you're having to then ask the entire family to adapt. Because let's be honest, we're all hooked on these things, whether we're the kid, whether we're the parent. And you're going to have to ask a parent to adapt to, well, now you can't ask the kid to text you when it's time to get a ride or call you when it's time to get a ride. You're going to have to plan ahead. You're going to have to know when practice or a game ends, or if they're playing on a team and it's got an away game and you can't go, well, then they're taking the bus back. You're going to have a general idea of when that bus may be there to go pick them up. Are we ready to ask parents to do that and, you know, get the ramifications of what that'll be?
I mean, what do we do back in the day?
Exactly. We did it back in the day. But are we capable of going back there?
Hey, I want to get to some more of these texts. And if you want to weigh in the final segment, we could do that as well. 651-461-9226. We call it the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. One more segment of the Chad Harbin Show. It's time for the Lindis Time Check. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin and get free installation labor. John Hines will be following me. He is in for Jason DeRussia on this Labor Day. Plenty of texts coming in. Let's get to a few more of them, and I appreciate everybody's texting into the show and reacting. H. Lake, my junior in high school won't use the bathroom at school because kids take snaps of kids using the bathroom and post it. That's very inappropriate, and I hate that your junior feels like they can't even go to the restroom. And that's another thing. Like, for the people that are like, oh, I got to get a hold of my kids are using cell phones, not necessarily for the, okay, I got to have access to my parents.
Correct.
It's about all the other things. It's the Snapchats. It's the TikToks. It's all the other things that are not conducive for learning.
Well, and it's just the going to your cell phone when you have a couple minutes after class or you're at lunch. It's going to the phone instead of, you know, communicating with other humans.
Yeah.
You know, so another skill you learn when you're in school.
From the 612, schools don't answer their phones when you call anymore. They don't have a dedicated receptionist taking that phone call like they used to. Now, full transparency, there's not a school that I've been to that doesn't have a receptionist. Still.
Someone's got to pick up the phone.
I'm not saying that's – if you say that is your situation, then that's fine. I have not been to – and I haven't been in schools for a few years, but I still go and I work and talk to kids and go into different – not one that I've been in over the course of the last 6 years that I've been in, because that's the time that I've been roughly here at WCCO – where there haven't been people, like when you go in, there's security there. And then after that, you go into the office. I mean, so that's not the experience that I've seen, but I'll take your word for it.
I would say, you know, it's never been more easy to get a hold of anyone inside a school with, you know, obviously through the phone, through apps that you can communicate directly with teachers. And
yep.
Yeah, I don't know if I.
All right, your kids are going back to school. And as a former. 15-year employee in school districts? I don't know that there's a case for why you should have your child, or it should be allowed that they have a cell phone in school. I guess somebody would have to make the case for me, but I don't know. I'd love to hear it. 651-461-9226. I don't think it's productive. And I know that the natural comeback will be, I want to be able to get a hold of my kid if something bad happens. Is that enough of a stance to say that your kid should be allowed to bring or have a smartphone or a cell phone at school? And there's an article entitled, "Your children's smartphones aren't making them smarter." Well, I think that smartphones and bringing cell phones to school are a massive distraction. I don't think it should be in the learning environment. And I would agree with people that say it disrupts the learning environment. It is a disruption. I don't think that teachers should have to want to, you know, have that fight with the kid over a cell phone. I don't think that realistically a kid can make a case for why they should have one in a classroom or even in their locker. Because then, you know, okay, my cell phone, somebody took it out of my locker or it got stuck. What is the good that comes out of it? Like, what is the overall need for having a cell phone in school? Is it just the, I'm a parent and I want to be able to contact my child when I want to contact them? Back when we were in school, how'd you get a hold of your kid? Did you call to school? Did the school get in contact with the teacher in the class? I mean, I know that we live in a world in which we feel a certain way about school shootings, this, that, the other, whatever, and there's more school shootings than we would ever want or imagine that there are. But the likelihood of that, it's higher today than it was 50 years ago. But the bottom line is, I just don't think that cell phones do us any good in schools.
What's your policy then? If you're the principal, Henry Lake School for the Gifted and Talented, can kids, let's say high school age, can they bring cell phones in the building and just have to leave them in a locker or in a bag, or are they even allowed in the building?
I don't know. Well, first off, there's only two ways you can go about it in my eyes, and people can weigh in on the text line if they'd like, 651-461-9226. There's only two ways you can go about it. The one way is that you don't have it at all, that it doesn't come through the doors. If it comes through the doors and you're found with the cell phone goes to administration and your parent comes to get it. Number one.
Okay.
The only other option is if you come to school, there is a designated, and maybe they just have a person that is the staff that deals with this, dedicated staff, where you hand it to that person the moment that you come in the door. They have a deal where it's locked up, and then you retrieve it at the end of the day. It's almost like I went to a
A lot of comedians do that now.
Comedians
do it. Sleeve, you put it in.
They got the sleeve, and then it happened at the Dakota. I went to a show at the Dakota like a year and a half ago, and there was no recording. And so you got there, they looked at my name was on list, whatever. Oh, yeah, we got your tickets here, whatever. You got a cell phone. We don't allow cell phones in here. You need to put it in your vehicle, or you go ahead and you give it to us, and because if, let's say, for instance, you're a kid in high school and you drive to school. Okay, I wasn't driving until I got to college. Mm-hmm. But let's say that you drive to school, whatever, right? Well, you can leave it in your car, right? If you want to, right? You can leave it in your car. But I think that those are your only two options. I don't know, maybe somebody out there has another option, but I think those are your only two. What do you think?
I think if I was running the school, I used to be along the lines of, well, the student can keep it on their person, but obviously have the ringer off. And if it comes out in class, then we have an issue. No, that can't happen. Because even if your phone's on vibrate, looking at the stats now of how many notifications an average teenager's phone gets throughout the day, you know, well into the 200, 300, 400 perhaps, you can't focus, even if you're not looking at the phone. If you're feeling a little buzz in your pocket every few minutes because there's a notification from an app or a text message or an email that's come through, your focus is gone because all you're thinking about is, man, is there a way I can sneak this out of my pocket? And even if I can't, I wonder who it was. I wonder what it is. That's what our brains have been designed, or I shouldn't say our brains. These phones have been designed to make our brains want them. You know, they are addictive. We know that. So I do think it's probably too much at this stage in 2024 to say you can't bring it in the building. Just for the simple fact, especially if we're talking about, you know, middle school, high school kids, if, mm-hmm. you know, they're in activities, if they need a ride home, it's not easy to come about a payphone in a school anymore. You know, that's a little more difficult than it used to be. So I think you have to give, you know, kids that opportunity to be able to get a hold of their parents, specifically after school. But, yeah, I think my policy would be it doesn't leave a locker.
All right,
you can bring it in. Everyone gets a locker. And if you see it during the day, it's gone.
Well,
there is no two strikes.
See, I don't think that works. Because you're doing the honor system there. And you think that a high school kid is going to leave it in the locker? That's not happening. Like, I worked in a school for many years, multiple different schools, multiple different districts. That's just, the honor thing is not happening. We would like to think that our child is going to abide by the rules. That's not how it works. Text line here says, I disagree with Henry. It's a form of protection in this world. Yes, it's a pain for the teachers, but what about at the bus stop or walking home or to school? In that case, then we would have the setup like the Dakota or other places where you go and you hand it to someone and then you get it at the end of the day. But hold on. Let's think about it like this.
You think kids aren't going to bring an old phone and hand that to you and keep their new one with them?
Well, if the new one gets found, then that one goes to the parent. There has to be consequences for this. And trust me, I would love to think that every kid is going to be honorable with regards to following the rules and doing what they're supposed to do in a school. I've worked in schools, man. I didn't deal with kids that'll talk crazy to you and tell you you can call my mom and they threaten you with your parents. I'm not dealing with all that. It is not a part of the learning environment to have a cell phone. It should not be. Like, I get that we live in a world in which we want to have access to our parents, that we want to have access to our children. Are we forgetting the world that we grew up in? If somebody wanted to get a hold of, like, there's, you know, one thing that we're really good at doing in this life is adapting. No, we are. We're really good at adapting. And it would, to me, it would be easier for a father, son, daughter, mother to be able to adapt to that scenario than the teachers trying to adapt to the scenario where you got a classroom full of kids with cell phones and notifications going off and this and that, the other. We have issues in school districts with kids doing things on Facebook and then bringing the stuff back to school. So you mean to tell me it's going to be super simple to just have cell phones in classes? It's a very, very tricky situation. It really is.
And there's no there's no easy solution. You know, you're going to anger people no matter what you do. And you're talking about adapting. You know, kids will adapt, but you're talking about you're having to then ask the entire family to adapt. Because let's be honest, we're all hooked on these things, whether we're the kid, whether we're the parent. And you're going to have to ask a parent to adapt to, well, now you can't ask the kid to text you when it's time to get a ride or call you when it's time to get a ride. You're going to have to plan ahead. You're going to have to know when practice or a game ends, or if they're playing on a team and it's got an away game and you can't go, well, then they're taking the bus back. You're going to have a general idea of when that bus may be there to go pick them up. Are we ready to ask parents to do that and, you know, get the ramifications of what that'll be?
I mean, what do we do back in the day?
Exactly. We did it back in the day. But are we capable of going back there?
Hey, I want to get to some more of these texts, and if you want to weigh in the final segment, we could do that as well. 651-461-9226. We call it the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. One more segment of the Chad Harbin Show. It's time for the Lindis Time Check. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin and get free installation labor. John Hines will be following me. He is in for Jason DeRussia on this Labor Day. Plenty of texts coming in. Let's get to a few more of them, and I appreciate everybody's texting into the show and reacting. H. Lake, my junior in high school won't use the bathroom at school because kids take snaps of kids using the bathroom and post it. That's very inappropriate, and I hate that your junior feels like they can't even go to the restroom. And that's another thing. Like, for the people that are like, oh, I got to get a hold of my kids – or using cell phones, not necessarily for the, okay, I got to have access to my parents.
Correct.
It's about all the other things. It's the Snapchats. It's the TikToks. It's all the other things that are not conducive for learning.
Well, and it's just the going to your cell phone when you have a couple minutes after class or you're at lunch. It's going to the phone instead of, you know, communicating with other humans.
Yeah.
You know, so another skill you learn when you're in school.
From the 612, schools don't answer their phones when you call anymore. They don't have a dedicated receptionist taking that phone call like they used to. Now, full transparency, there's not a school that I've been to that doesn't have a receptionist still.
Someone's got to pick up the phone.
I'm not saying that's – if you say that is your situation, then that's fine. I have not been to – and I'm not – I haven't been in schools for a few years, but I still go and I work and talk to kids and go into different – not one that I've been in over the course of the last 6 years that I've been in, because that's the time that I've been roughly here at WCCO, where there haven't been people – like when you go in, there's security there. And then after that, you go into the off. I mean, so that's not the experience that I've seen, but yeah. I'll take your word for it.
I would say, you know. It's never been more easy to get a hold of anyone inside a school with, you know, obviously through the phone, through apps that you can communicate directly with teachers. And
yep.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that.
They say, so if you do have a family emergency, you might be forced to leave a message also with dual parenting. Sometimes one of the parents has an issue and can't pick up the child and they have to make different arrangements. That's kind of a you problem, to be honest with you, because, I mean, our parents dealt with it too, right?
Yeah,
those are two reasons, and I think it's up to the parent to work with their child to tell them that it is unacceptable to be using their phone in school unless it's emergency reasons. That discussion and conversation has been had by a lot of people, but respectfully to that texter, though, you're not every single parent, and I'm not trying to overdo it here, but there are some people out there that aren't good parents. They just want to be cool with their kids. They want to be friends with their kids and not parent their child.
Yeah.
And I've dealt head on with those parents.
Sure you have. There's plenty of parents that if their kid is, you know, if the rule is no phones in school and their kid is caught with their phone out during class or whatever it is, there's plenty of parents that will be on the school side say, nope, you shouldn't have done that. There's also plenty of parents who will fight tooth and nail if the school took that phone away for the end of the day, they would be furious.
This from the 612. As a middle school teacher, cell phones aren't needed during the school day. put it in your locker until after school and all our lives will be better. I totally agree. They say if there's an emergency, parents can call the school like in the old days. Nothing good comes from cell phones in the hands of students during the school day. I 100% agree with that text. And let me repeat again. I'm not sitting here saying that every single school in the state of Minnesota or in the country has a dedicated receptionist. I don't know that for a fact because I'm not in every school. There has not been one school that I've ever worked in or been in where I've not encountered a receptionist that specifically took phone calls. Maybe things have changed since the pandemic in certain districts. I don't know. But I'm telling you guys, because I've lived this, I've been in the environment, having cell phones in schools is a massive headache. And I don't want people that have never worked in a school to think, well, just teachers, they should just deal with it. It's not that simple. It's a much more complex thing, and you have to deal with kids with emotions and all these other issues and problems. It just becomes a massive hassle. And teachers and administrators have enough problems to deal with on a daily
We've
basis.
Asked them to deal with a lot over the last many, many, many years. Oh, you can handle this one. You can have just keep tacking it on. Yeah, this is one that's easy to have a policy, have a blanket policy, and here it is.
Yeah, it's enough to have to deal with the everyday rigors of dealing with adolescents, you know, and all this stuff. And then you got to deal with social workers. And then, you know, now we've got the mental health people that are working with young people. And now we got to start adding on, you know, kids that just don't want to be nice to each other because of TikToks and Snapchats and all that stuff. Oh, man, I don't get it. Hey, you still got time to get to the State Fair?
So do you. Bring your dad. Come on. Happy birthday, Pops. Let's go get a Bronco Pup.
My dad is not going to the State Fair on his birthday. Happy birthday to my father, Henry Lake Sr. Coming up next, John Hines. He's in for Jason DeRusha. It's time for the Lindis Time Check. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin and get free installation labor. John Hines will be following me. He is in for Jason DeRusha on this Labor Day. Plenty of texts coming in. Let's get to a few more of them, and I appreciate everybody's texting into the show and reacting. H. Lake, my junior in high school won't use the bathroom at school because kids take snaps of kids using the bathroom and post it. That's very inappropriate, and I hate that your junior feels like they can't even go to the restroom. And that's another thing. Like, for the people that are like, oh, I got to get a hold of my kids are using cell phones, not necessarily for the, okay, I got to have access to my parents.
Correct.
It's about all the other things. It's the Snapchats. It's the TikToks. It's all the other things that are not conducive for learning.
Well, and it's just the going to your cell phone when you have a couple minutes after class or you're at lunch. It's going to the phone instead of, you know, communicating with other humans.
Yeah.
You know, so another, you know, another skill you learn when you're in school.
From the 612, schools don't answer their phones when you call anymore. They don't have a dedicated receptionist taking that phone call like they used to. Now, full transparency, there's not a school that I've been to that doesn't have a receptionist. Still.
Someone's got to pick up the phone.
I'm not saying that's – if you say that that is your situation, then that's fine. I have not been to – and I'm not – I haven't been in schools for a few years, but I still go and I work and talk to kids and go into different – not one that I've been in over the course of the last 6 years that I've been in, because that's the time that I've been roughly here at WCCO, where there haven't been people – like when you go in, there's security there. And then after that, you go into the off. I mean, so that's not the experience that I've seen, but right. I'll take your word for it.
I would say, you know. It's never been more easy to get a hold of anyone inside a school with, you know, obviously through the phone, through apps that you can communicate directly with teachers. And
yep.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that.
They say, so if you do have a family emergency, you might be forced to leave a message also with dual parenting. Sometimes one of the parents has an issue and can't pick up the child and they have to make different arrangements. That's kind of a you problem. to be honest with you, because, I mean, our parents dealt with it too, right?
Yeah.
Those are two reasons, and I think it's up to the parent to work with their child to tell them that it is unacceptable to be using their phone in school unless it's emergency reason. That discussion and conversation has been had by a lot of people, but respectfully to that texter, though, you're not every single parent. And I'm not trying to overdo it here, but there are some people out there that aren't good parents. They just want to be cool with their kids. They want to be friends with their kids and not parent their child.
Yeah.
And I've dealt head on with those parents.
Sure you have. There's plenty of parents that if their kid is, you know, if the rule is no phones in school and their kid is caught with their phone out during class or whatever it is, there's plenty of parents that will be on the school side say, nope, you shouldn't have done that. There's also plenty of parents who will fight tooth and nail if the school took that phone away for the end of the day. They would be furious.
This from the 612. As a middle school teacher, cell phones aren't needed during the school day. Put it in your locker until after school and all our lives will be better. I totally agree. They say if there's an emergency, parents can call the school like in the old days. Nothing good comes from cell phones in the hands of students during the school day. I 100% agree with that text. And let me repeat again. I'm not sitting here saying that every single school in the state of Minnesota or in the country has a dedicated receptionist. I don't know that for a fact because I'm not in every school. There has not been one school that I've ever worked in or been in where I've not encountered a receptionist that specifically took phone calls. Maybe things have changed since the pandemic in certain districts. I don't know. But I'm telling you guys, because I've lived this, I've been in the environment, having cell phones in schools is a massive headache. And I don't want people that have never worked in a school to think, well, just teachers, they should just deal with it. It's not that simple. It's a much more complex thing, and you have to deal with kids with emotions and all these other issues and problems. It just becomes a massive hassle. And teachers and administrators have enough problems to deal with on a daily
We've
basis.
Asked them to deal with a lot over the last many, many, many years. Oh, you can handle this one. You can have just keep tacking it on. Yeah, this is one that's easy to have a policy, have a blanket policy, and here it is.
Yeah, it's enough to have to deal with the everyday rigors of dealing with adolescents, you know, and all this stuff. And then you got to deal with social workers. And then, you know, now we've got the mental health people that are working with young people. And now we got to start adding on, you know, kids that just don't want to be nice to each other because of TikToks and Snapchats and all that stuff. Oh, man, I don't get it. Hey, you still got time to get to the State Fair?
So do you. Bring your dad. Come on. Happy birthday, Pops. Let's go get a Bronco Pup.
My dad is not going to the State Fair on his birthday. Happy birthday to my father, Henry Lake Sr. Coming up next, John Hines. He's in for Jason DeRusher.